This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, wa ba'd. Yaqulullahu tabarak wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahman ar-rahim. Inna iddata ash-shuhuri inda Allahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah. يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم وقال تعالى إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, the month of Muharram signifies the beginning of a new Islamic calendar. And just as the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus have their own calendar, likewise the Muslims also have their own unique calendar, which is called the Hijri calendar. And the Hijri calendar is just as relevant today as it was in the past. The ibadah of a Muslim revolves around the Muslim calendar. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they asked him, O Nabi of Allah, what is the matter? Why do we see the waxing and the waning of the moon? What is behind that? The simple answer the Prophet of Allah gave, that we use the moon to determine our ibadah and all other rituals that is found. A Muslim woman will complete her iddah according to the lunar calendar and not the English calendar. A Muslim woman will discharge their zakah according to the lunar calendar and not the Gregorian calendar. And I need to emphasize here that those who are running businesses and as well as those who are discharging their personal zakah, it is important to use the lunar calendar and not the Gregorian calendar. If the man has stipulated the first of Shawwal as his date for giving out zakah, then every year he needs to give out his zakah on the first of Shawwal. He cannot stipulate the English calendar for discharging his zakah. He cannot say that the 1st of March I will give out my zakah. The English calendar cannot be taken into account simply because of the difference of days between the English calendar and the lunar calendar. So the lunar calendar is relevant today as it was relevant at that time. For those who are intending to perform Hajj, for them to determine the day of Arafah is important to follow the lunar calendar. For Muslims throughout the globe, for them to commence the month of Ramadan, they depend on the sighting of the moon. And so we understand that the lunar calendar is important to a believer wherever he may be. Whether he's living within an Islamic state or not, the lunar calendar is still important for him to follow. Now, I want to give you some historical perspective to the lunar calendar. It is known as the Hijri calendar. If you look at this historically, during the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the governors that were working under him wrote to him, stating that, O Umar ibn Khattab, you send us orders, but we find it difficult to ascertain as to which order of yours came first and which order came second. We request you to come up with some system where we can date our orders so that it becomes easier for us to relate to your orders and it becomes easy for us to carry out those commands of yours. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab called up the executive committee for Shura and he put the matter forward and he tabled this motion and he said to the people, we need to come up with some system in terms of our dating. So some Sahaba suggested, let's go with the Persian calendar as it is already in existence. But Sahaba felt that it needs to have an Islamic flavor to it. And so let's come up with something that is more central to us as Muslims and believers. It is at that time that Sahaba gave various opinions as to what should be the central theme for the Hijri calendar. So some Sahaba said, let's look at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that seems to be something significant. Some Sahaba suggested other events. Finally, it was agreed upon that we will use the Hijrah. We will use the Hijrah as a central theme to our calendar. And our calendar will be called the Hijri calendar after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. It is at that point it was decided to call it the Hijri calendar. Bear in mind that the Islamic months were already there. Muharram, Safar, Rabi'ul Awwal were already there. Hajj was still taking place in Dhul Hijjah. People were still fasting during the month of Ramadan. But it was just a matter of bringing uniformity to the system. Now the question rises here, why was the event of Hijrah chosen for the calendar? I mean, there were significant events like the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battle of Badr, which was the decisive battle for Muslims, the battle of Uhud, the battle of Khandaq, and many other events like the changing of the Qibla. There were many other events that transpired in the Muslim calendar. Why was it that the Muslims decided to choose the Hijrah for the calendar? Because Hijrah was the deciding factor at that time. It was compulsory. It was incumbent upon every person who was a Muslim at that time for him to make Hijrah from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And let's understand this from its historical perspective. As days and months went by, the Quraysh became very brutal in their policies towards the Muslims. They made life unbearable for the Muslims. As a result, many Muslims migrated to Abyssinia, which is known as Habasha. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down relief in the form of the Ansar of Medina. They accepted Islam, they pledged their support to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they requested the Prophet of Allah to migrate from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwarah. After divine decree, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the order to the Sahaba that now the Muslims should migrate from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwarah. Many Sahaba made the Hijrah individually as well as collectively. Likewise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Prophet of Allah and he said, O Nabi of Allah, give me ijazah, give me the permission to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah. The Prophet of Allah said, don't be in a hurry, O Abu Bakr. Allah will grant you a companion. Just wait for the moment. I want you to follow the details of the journey because I want to draw lessons that we can take and implement in our own life today, inshaAllah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that without failure, the Prophet of Allah would visit our house on a daily basis. It would either be in the morning or it would either be in the evening. But he came to our house every day. She says, the day when Allah gave the permission to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah, the Prophet of Allah came to our house at an odd hour. He came to our house at mid-noon, at a time when people are generally not out of their house. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the Prophet of Allah coming towards the house, he said to Aisha, surely there's something important that has come up. There's a pressing need which has pushed the Prophet of Allah out of his house and to come visit us at this hour of the day. The Prophet of Allah enters the house. He greets the inhabitants. And the first thing he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, remove from my presence whoever is here at the moment. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, there's nobody in the house except my two daughters, Asma and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Prophet of Allah said, oh Abu Bakr, Allah has given us the permission to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah. And subhanAllah, Abu Bakr was tearing. He was in tears out of joy. Because this meant that Abu Bakr was going to accompany him on the hijrah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala tells him that, O Nabi of Allah, I have prepared two camels of the best breed for this journey and for this occasion. And the next thing they do is they hire out a guide. And amazing, the guide was a non-Muslim. He was a mushrik. They hired a guide to take them to Madinah to Munawwara. They told Abdullah bin Urayqit, who was the mushrik guide, that here are our two camels. You keep them with you. SubhanAllah, how much of confidence he had in him. And when we tell you, when we inform you, you should meet us at a certain place and a certain time. He agreed. In the darkness of the night, they make the exit out of Mecca and they go to the cave of Thur. They camp there for 3 nights. And look at the planning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The family of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu played a very pivotal role in the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His son Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, he was an intelligence officer. During the day, he would collect information in Mecca and he would listen to what is happening. And during the night, he would go back to the cave and inform the Prophet of Allah and his father as to what's happening in Mecca. O Nabi of Allah, today the Quraysh are planning and they are deciding on this. So he was providing intelligence. His other daughter, Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, also played a very pivotal role. She provided the food for the journey. And later on I'll discuss what an important role she played in this journey. The slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would bring the herd of sheep at night and he would provide milk to the Prophet of Allah and meat to them. The call is made in Makkatul Mukarramah that whoever finds Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam dead or alive, for him is 100 camels. And this stirred up the greed within people. And they went out in pursuit of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Suraqah bin Malik also followed. And the incident is lengthy, I'm not going to go into it. But eventually the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves Makkah to Mukarramah. And he uses an unusual path to go to Madinah to Munawwara. And his final moments, looking at Makkah and the Kaaba, and he said, Ya Makkah ma atyabaki min baladin wa ahabbaki ilayhi. لولا أن قومي أخرجوني منك لما سكنت غيرك. Oh Makkah, you are so beloved to me. With a teary eye, he's looking at Makkah and he said, You are so beloved to me. Had it not been the oppression of my people, I would not have resided in any other part of the world except you, oh Makkah. With a heavy heart, he leaves Makkah to Mukarramah. He passes Qudayd at the residence of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha. He goes to Quba, he spends few days in Quba. He establishes the first masjid, Masjid al-Quba, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah speaks of this in the Quran. He finally comes to Madinah to Munawwara and people are excited. People are excited to receive Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The young girls started singing, "Tala al Badru alayna min thaniyat al Wada'." The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is welcomed in this manner in Madinah Munawwara. This is the journey of Hijrah. I want to draw some lessons for us today, and I want you to look at the Prophet of Allah not just as a prophet. Subhanallah, he taught us so many valuable lessons. Look at the detailed planning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of executing his plan. First of all, he visited Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu at an odd hour. In one narration it is mentioned that the Prophet of Allah wrapped himself in a shawl, he covered his face and his head so that people could not make out who it is. He kept his mission secret. Besides the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, nobody else knew of the mission. This tells us that when you are executing important tasks in life, you need to take all these measures into account. Number two, the Prophet of Allah hired an experienced person for the journey. He hired a polytheist, a mushrik, Abdullah bin Uraqid, as their guide. This tells you that at times you require the expertise of others in life. You can't do everything on your own. He relied on the expertise of others also. Indeed, tawakkul is there. But look at how the Prophet of Allah taught us how to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took everything possible in his own capacity. Number three, he appointed an intelligence officer, Abdullah bin Abu Bakr, who would gather information during the course of the day, because he needed to be aware of what is happening. This is my plan. But what if the plan changes in Makkah? I need to be aware. And accordingly, I need to adapt and make amendments to my own planning. Number four, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, played a very important role in the journey. She would provide the food for the journey, number one. Number two, when she returned home, Abu Jahl and a few people of Quraysh came knocking at the door of Abu Bakr, and he asked, "Where is your father?" She replied, "I do not know." He gave her such a severe blow that her earring also fell down. But she did not give out any information. Had she given out the information of the whereabouts of Rasulullah, the entire mission was compromised. Subhanallah. Her grandfather comes into the house and he says, he was not a Muslim at that time, he says to her, "Surely your father has caused you financial difficulty, he has taken all your wealth." She said, no, my grandfather. She took quickly a few stones and she put it in a bag and she said to the father, "Look, place your hand here. He left so much behind for us." Allahu Akbar. Women have played an integral role in the making of the Muslim society, and they continue to play a pivotal role in today's society. We cannot marginalize them. We cannot bar them. From the very beginning, look at Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and many other women that played a pivotal role in the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nubuwwat started in the lap of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and ended in the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It started with a lady and ended with a lady. How can we marginalize the women? Subhanallah. Another important lesson, he took an unusual route to Medina. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Today there's a highway built on that, the Hijra Express. But look at how much of planning the Prophet of Allah put into this journey. He is teaching us as the Ummah, لا أقلق التدبير. The Prophet of Allah said, there is nothing like well planning. This teaches us as believers, whenever we are preparing for anything in life, whether it's spiritual or non-spiritual, we must plan to the best of our abilities. Because the Prophet has taught us. People say, tawakkul. I want to ask them this question. Look how much of planning the Prophet of Allah did. That is the meaning of tawakkul. Tawakkul means to do whatever is in your capacity and then to leave the result in the hands of Allah. That is the meaning of tawakkul. And so you find in the cave, when the mushrikeen were looking for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr became anxious. And he said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, there's a man standing here. If he has to look down, they will spot us and the mission is over." And this is what the Prophet of Allah is teaching the Ummah, tawakkul. After taking all the measures into account, he tells Abu Bakr, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Don't worry, Allah is with us. He first did what he had to do, and then he said, "Allah is with us." Allah made the spider spun a web on the mouth of the cave, and a pigeon to lay an egg. And so the soldier says to himself, "If there was somebody here, this web would not be there, and this egg would not be here." And naturally, he left the cave and he went away. So brothers, here we learn so many lessons. And that is why the Hijrah has been the central theme of the Islamic calendar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. In conclusion, there is another Hijrah to be made today, brothers. Al-Muhajiru man hajara khatayahu. A Muhajir, a traveler, is that person who makes Hijrah from one phase of his life to another phase of his life, where he abandons the life of sin and vice and evil, and he makes hijrah to the life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need to make hijrah. We all need to make the sacrifice. And Allah will open the doors for us. It's about time that we look within our own life and do some soul searching. We need to come onto salah. We need to come onto Quran. We need to come onto dhikr. We need to come onto the obedience of Allah. And Allah's qasam, you'll see the nur and the barakah of Allah in your life. Subhanallah. So let us make this intention. Just as the Sahaba made the hijrah, which became the focal point for the Muslims, today you and I need to make the hijrah for the sake of Allah, so that tomorrow our records can be amongst those who are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ